Bearcat Coaches Show.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show. We broadcast live each Thursday evening from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. I'm John Coffey alongside with Matt Gorder, and we have another good show on hand for tonight. We also have our sideline reporter for our Bearcat football games, Chris Rouse. And Chris will be working the crowd. If you have any questions for our coaches or our student athlete tonight, you can write those down on a question card and bring those up to us, and we'll pass those along. And don't forget, we've got several giveaway items that we'll be handing out tonight as well. So a lot coming up tonight. We'll be talking with the Northwest Women's Volleyball Coach Amy Worth, along with Northwest Cross Country Coach Scott Lorick, and volleyball player Shelby Dern, and then, of course, head football coach Adam Dorrell, as the Bearcat football team coming off a big win this past Saturday. Support for the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Student Body, screen printing and embroidery, now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides a Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch or dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More information at 660-582-2699. And again, as always, our thanks to Carson and Renee and the waitstaff for all their work throughout this evening. Matt Gorder. Another big weekend of athletics, and it's a little bit bigger this time around because we got homecoming coming up.
Absolutely. You know, I guess the only way you top an event like last week with the Fall Classic at Arrowhead is to have a homecoming, and that also includes more teams and things like that. So it's been a fun week so far, but, of course, the climax of the week tomorrow and Saturday, and that's really exciting with what we'll see here in Maryville this weekend.
We'll talk about this a little bit later with volleyball coach Amy Worth, but they've been on the road almost the entire season. It's nice that they've got a couple of home matches this weekend.
Yeah, so far they've only had two home matches the entire season, so two in a weekend is going to feel great. but the good thing is they're to that turnaround point where six out of the last matches they've got this year are at home, and there's going to be some key matches in there as well.
And again, we'll talk with Amy a little bit later on during our show. We'll also be talking with Scott Lorick, the cross-country coach, along with Shelby Duren, a volleyball player, as well as Northwest head coach Adam Durrell. So stay tuned. We've got a lot coming up on the KXCV Coaches Show, coming up right after this timeout as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from Taco John's at 1015 South Main in Maryville. Serving breakfast and dinner, Taco John's is open Sunday through Thursday from 7 a.m. until midnight and until 2 a.m. Friday and Saturday. More at tacojohns.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee in Maryville. Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in-store at Maryville Hy-Vee at 1217 South Main.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information is available at 660-582-7196. Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center and the Prenery House. More information at conceptionabbey.org.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services at 2016 South Main in Maryville. St. Francis services include emergency care, surgery, mammography, and obstetrics. More information is available at stfrancismaryville.com.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show. And we're going to get things off and running with Scott Lorick. He is the cross-country coach at Northwest. I apologize,
nice.
Coach. I couldn't pass it up. But Coach Scott Lorick with us. They've got the MIAA championships coming up here shortly. But, Coach, let's start off and talk about your last action, Fort Hays State. How did the teams perform in Hays, Kansas?
It was a good meet for us. We were definitely excited about the way we ran. We had a chance to see a couple conference schools that, you know, edged us out at that meet. And so actually it's one of those things that at the time you're frustrated, but now we're really excited to have another shot at them and get after them in the championships.
When you talk about the races that you've run to this point, and obviously teams are always preparing for conference championships and then postseason or regionals, that sort of thing, do the courses that you guys run also kind of help you prepare for the courses you might see when it becomes championship time?
Well, we do, and we really create our schedule based on what we're going to see at conference and at region meet. So we've had an emphasis on more flat courses this year because our conference and region are going to be on flat courses. And last year was actually a lot trickier. Our home course hosted the conference meet, which is very hilly, and then our region was flat. So that actually made training kind of difficult for us, but that actually goes into planning our schedule.
When, you know, if it goes into schedule, when you think about where you might be running in future seasons, does that do anything with recruiting? I mean, the type of runners you recruit, do they run hilly courses in high school, that sort of thing? Is that part of that thought process?
Well, not too much, because it's going to change every year. Mm-hmm. But, we're just trying to get the best possible kids we can, and, you know, every aspect as people and as athletes. And, and also we have to recruit a lot on track times, because with that courses, all the high school courses are different, and quite honestly, some of them aren't accurately measured. So if you just kind of compare times for high school cross-country kids, I mean, they're all over the place. So you really have to recruit more on track times than on cross-country results.
When you talk about the MIAA championships, talk about the competition level this year in the conference and what you will see coming up in Pittsburgh.
Well, it's outstanding. There's several nationally ranked teams, and I think we're a tremendous team. But, you know, there's teams that are just even better. So I think we're, definitely have our work cut out for us in that area. But the conference, I think, is this year exceptionally even. I think just a couple points are going to make a difference between several team places.
Now, when you talk about, obviously cross country is an individual sport, but there is the team aspect to it. What sort of approach do the runners take into each time they do get out on a course and compete? And are they thinking individually and then the team results will come, or how do they take that approach?
You know, I'll tell you what, our sport has everything to do with focus and fatigue. And those two things, and the team camaraderie and the accountability they have to each other really goes year-round throughout their off-season training and everything. And so those are the things that click in when things get difficult, when things are tough. You know, it's not a mystery what happens during a cross-country race. I mean, you know at certain points what it's going to feel like and what your struggles are going to be. But it's at those points, I think, if your team chemistry is good and you do have that great accountability with your kids, that they're going to come through. Because at that point, they're not running just for themselves, they are running for the team. And if it's just yourself, you know, you can kind of back off a little bit when it hurts. But if you're running for everybody else, you know, you got a lot more riding on the line.
So that's why we always see them in groups around town when they're training, always running as a team.
You know, it is. And a lot of our guys specifically stayed in town just to run with each other all summer. You know, and our women have done the same thing. So that's, that whole mental aspect of that is just huge in our sport.
Let's talk individually. Who are some of the individuals that you're expecting good things from in the championships?
Well, you know, in the last 3 weeks, we've had two MIAA Athletes of the Week. Nolan Zimmer at the Hayes Invitational was the MIAA Athlete of the Week, if it was finished there. And then the week before, Ann Herbert was the MIAA Athlete of the Week for her performance at the Arkansas Chili Pepper Meet. So, those two, I think, are outstanding. I think they're going to be among the top people in the conference. But, crazy things happen at the conference meet. You know, anybody can be a favorite, but often it doesn't mean anything.
There's 2 weeks between meets. Is that a good amount of time for recovery, training for the next meet, that sort of thing?
It is. 1 week would definitely not do it. So 2 weeks is good because there's kind of a emotional, mental recovery that has to occur as well, and then to kind of get back up again. So it's important for physical and equally for the emotional level as well.
And I'll knock on wood here. It seems like you guys have been pretty injury-free so far this year. What can you account that to be able to stay injury-free like that?
Pure luck. Yeah, I mean, sometimes the injury things, I mean, there's just... you know, they come out. I mean, we try to do the best we can with our warm-ups and our preparation and our, you know, all the extra things, diet and sleep and all those kind of things. But sometimes things just happen. And unfortunately, in our sport, the term we hear all the time is overuse. And overuse is like, it means a million different things. And so, you know, you prepare as best you can. And sometimes you just got to get fortunate with, you know, the people you have and really their biomechanics. And sometimes you've got injury-prone people and sometimes, you know, the alignment's good.
All right, Coach. Well, this weekend, the MIAA Championships in Pittsburgh, Kansas. Good luck to you. Good luck to the team. Run well this weekend.
Thank you very much.
That is Scott Lorick. He is the head cross-country coach at Northwest Missouri State. Again, the MIAA Championships take place this weekend. They'll be running Pittsburgh, Kansas for those championships coming up. So starting to see postseason start to come around for the fall athletic teams, which obviously will increase as we go over here for the next couple of weeks. We'll take a timeout. We'll start talking volleyball for Northwest Missouri State with the head coach of the Bearcat volleyball team, Amy Wirth. When we come back, we're listening to the KXCV Coaches Show from Carson's in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville, supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com. Support for today's game comes from Farmers Mutual Insurance Company of Nottoway County, insuring homes in town or out and farms in Northwest Missouri since 1891. You can find agent information available at fmnottoway.com. Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at tristatefordlincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for this Bearcat Sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, 582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Medical Center in Albany. Northwest Medical Center offers inpatient, outpatient, home health, and emergency services with clinics located in Albany, Stanbury, and Grant City. More at northwestmedicalcenter.org.
Today's game is being underwritten by O'Malley Beverage in St. Joseph, Missouri. O'Malley is the region's supplier of Anheuser-Busch products and would like to remind you to drink responsibly and to always designate a driver. More information at anheuserbusch.com.
Welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Before we talk with Amy Wirth, the head coach of the Northwest volleyball team, we have a giveaway here, and appropriately enough, it's a Northwest volleyball shirt, and this will go to Alex Bean of Maryville, who's here tonight. So Alex Bean receives a Northwest volleyball shirt. If you come down, we have Chris over to the left along with Darren here, and you can pick up your shirt. So again, Alex Bean of Maryville receives a Northwest volleyball shirt, and there he is now. So again, Amy Wirth is with us, and Amy, nice that we're able to give away a volleyball shirt here.
Yeah, it was awesome. And hope he comes tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's kind of nice that you've got a couple of home matches. It seems like you guys have been kind of road warriors this year, traveling all over the Midwest.
That's what we've been calling ourselves. We actually made a sign, and we had it one of the road trips just to show the road warriors. But yeah, we've had two home games the whole year, so we have eight games left, and six of those games are at home. So we're excited to be able to finish out, you know, the rest of our season amongst our fans.
How tough has that been to have to play so many matches on the road to start the season?
You know, it has been tough. I'm not going to use it as an excuse. It's just the challenge that was put in front of us. Last year, our conference schedule was a little bit different. It was flipped. So when you add on the two preseason weeks of, you know, tournaments, and then you're away for seven straight weeks, I mean, that really adds up to a lot of missed classes, a lot of stresses that are outside the volleyball realm, just the wear and tear of being on the road. And, you know, so last year we were away at the end. This year we're going to be home. So we're just trying to look at the positives to be able to finish the second half of our conference, to be at home and to be sleeping in our own bed. So we're looking forward to that.
Now, on another note, with being on the road like that, is it an opportunity, too, though, for the girls to get to know each other a little bit better by traveling so many different places?
Sure. You know, we have, obviously, because we've been on the road that long, you know, we know probably more about each other than we would have been if we'd been at home. which I think towards the end of the season, you know, you always want to play at your peak at the end of the season, and I think that it gives us a leg up from the standpoint of understanding our teammates a little bit better at this point.
Now, as you look at this past week's action, again on the road, a long trip down to Edmond, Oklahoma to play Central Oklahoma last weekend. Just talk a little bit about that trip and the way that match came out.
It was a tough one from the standpoint that they did a lot of good things, and we did too, but we couldn't put the string of good things together. You know, we do four or five good things, but you know, that last fifth step, we couldn't quite put the ball away. You know, we were challenged by their block, couldn't find the answers on that, and we didn't have the ball control that we needed to be able to get the splits to set against the flow so that their blockers were, they knew where we were going most of the time. So, you know, it's a tough trip. Hopefully, you know, that we can learn from that from the standpoint of ball control and understanding that, you know, when people are doing something, we need to adapt.
What type of a team was Central Oklahoma?
They're an efficient team. I think they're totally a beatable team. But, you know, they played well at home. And anytime a team puts that runs together like that, it, you know, it takes the wind out of your sails. So, you know, hats off to them for being ready to play and just executing their game plan a lot better than we did.
Now, this week you were also on the road for a non-conference match, this down to Kansas City, a matchup with Rutgers.
Yeah, they're a good team. You know, I think they're first in their conference right now. They went 5 with Truman, and as you guys know, Truman was in our conference, and now they share a conference together. And you know, they're a middle-oriented team. Their setter's really good. I thought that we, first game we didn't play very well. The second game we played well, but couldn't finish the set. And, you know, same thing with ball control. But from the standpoint of what we're doing, we're just looking for some changes to be able to get those answers to put together, you know, a team that's going to, you know, really show what we're really about.
And having a non-conference match right in the middle of the conference season here, just talk a little bit about the non-conference aspect of that and getting that match scheduled this week.
I just think that you have so many dates that are open, and you look at what you have open from your schedule, and you're always trying to find what can be scheduled from their standpoint too, and that was the date that came open. You know, hindsight's 2020. I probably wouldn't do that if I knew that how tired we'd be at this point in the season. But Rutgers is a good, you know, they're usually ranked in the top 25 at some point in the season. So, and I know him, and so, you know, and it's a short trip. And when you're thinking about how much we've been on the road and trying to get a couple games, you know, under our belt, we're always trying to look close, and you know, that is a team that we need to be able to compete with.
And is it good to see that type of team, maybe just for the home stretch with MIAA scheduling?
Sure. You know, when you go to a different conference, you have different type of players. Like, some conferences are about bigger players, some conferences are about smaller players. And kind of playing someone that you don't know, that you haven't played yet, I think that kind of refreshes you a little bit. It's kind of like the tournament style. We don't have a lot of time to prepare a scouting report for them because we don't all have a lot of film on them. So it's nice to get in there, try to figure out how to beat them within the game when you have it going on. So, I mean, we had some film, but it wasn't new film, you know, and so it was just nice to see a different conference in that style of play.
Now, this weekend, you've got a couple of home matches on Friday and Saturday, and as well as you've got a lot of people coming into town for homecoming, so
sure.
It's a good opportunity for fans that are coming back to Maryville for the various homecoming activities, also taking a little bit of volleyball.
Yeah, homecoming really means homecoming to us. Since we've been on the road so much, you know, it takes on a new meaning, and, you know, our girls are just really excited about being home and be able to sleep in their bed, get up, and not have to miss class, you know, especially tomorrow. We know since we had, well, it's a walkout day, so they don't have class tomorrow. But anyway, if they had class, it was still nice to get that in. From the standpoint of Washburn, you know, we've already played them once this year. It was a non-conference match. we know them. They know us. You know, it'll be a ball control battle. And they have a lot of power, and if we can put our stuff together to showcase that a little more consistently, I think it'll be a good matchup for us. We played them well last year, you know, at home, so I'm looking forward, you know, for us to be ready and get that done.
And that is a 7:00 start tomorrow night at Bearcat Arena. Now on Saturday, you're back home. Emporia State is the opponent, and the game time for that has been moved up an hour from what might be on some of the schedule cards that are out there. So folks need to remember that it's a 6:00 start on Saturday.
Yeah, we're just trying to get the football crowd to hang around. So that would be our challenge, is that, you know, we want that the fans from the football to step on into Bearcat Arena and cheer us on to victory against Emporia. Emporia just knocked off Central, who was undefeated. So, you know, MIAA drives you crazy from the standpoint of the competitiveness, but I wouldn't have it any other way. So it'll be a good weekend for us. I think it'll be a tough weekend, but it's time for us to step up and to show what we're really made of.
What are some of the things that make Emporia such a tough matchup?
You know, they have a good foundation under them. The coach has been there for a long time. I wouldn't say that they're as strong as they have been. They've had a lot more firepower, but, you know, they have good ball control. They always have good middles. They're good blockers. You know, they're running a 6-2, where sometimes they've ran a 5-1 in the past, but I think from the standpoint of what we need to do, this weekend is, I mean, as usual, but this weekend is really about us. It needs to be about us getting our jobs done and being consistent.
Now, as far as Saturday goes as well, not only the matchup on the court with you, but it's a special event with Dig for a Cure. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, every year we like to, in October, we like to pick one game where, you know, we like to talk about, you know, breast cancer and survivors and those types of things, and so this is the game that we're going to have. Obviously, we're going to wear pink and in honor of that, and we're just excited to have all those things surrounding our game.
Well, it should be a lot of fun this weekend to get a couple home matches, and then, as you mentioned, you look at November, and the fans will get a lot more opportunity to see your team here in November.
All right, we're probably doing a basketball favor, because we're just getting them used to going to Bearcat Arena, so they can come watch us and then stay in Bearcat Arena and cheer on the basketball team in November. But we're looking forward to being home, and we're looking forward to finish the season strong.
And when you talk about basketball, that's another thing the programs have to really work together, because the court time is at a premium at this time,
yep,
of year for practices even. So it's a case where you guys really have to coordinate a lot of things together there.
Yeah. You know, we're lucky that we only have the three sports that really have to be in Bearcat, and you know, cross country's in there as well. And sometimes, it can congest it. But from the standpoint of us, we don't really have to worry too much about basketball. They usually go in front of us or behind us. And then in the spring, we have to go in front of them or behind them. So, you know, it's ebb and flow, and we work really well together. We step over to Martindale when we can, but they do a really good job of giving us the first pick there. I know some other universities that's not the case, and so we're just really blessed to be able to stay in, you know, Bearcat as much as we can when we're in season.
Now, our student athlete that we'll be talking to this week, Shelby Duran, a sophomore off of your squad. Just talk a little bit about what she's meant to your program.
Shelby's just someone who's been in our lineup consistently. You know, she was there last year as a freshman on and off, but just really what differentiates her is her work ethic and the ability to just stay in there and keep her head on at, you know, a sophomore. You know, a lot of times she even did it as a freshman. That impressed me. But she's someone who learns from her mistakes. She learns from what the defense is doing, and she takes what the defense has given her, and she scores. And it's just someone that we've leaned on heavily this year to be able to put the ball away for us and be consistent. So very proud of what she's done this year and how she's hung in there, and she's just a fighter.
All right. Well, Amy, thanks a lot for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. That's the head volleyball coach at Northwest Missouri State, Amy Worth. And again, our thanks to Amy for being with us this evening. Don't forget, you have an opportunity to watch her team play this weekend, as they're finally back home after being on the road an awful lot in the early portion of the season. They've got Washburn tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and then Emporia State Saturday at 6. A reminder, if you've got a schedule card, that says 7 on the schedule card, but it's been moved up to 6 o'clock on a Saturday evening at Bearcat Arena. Stay tuned. When we come back, we'll continue to talk in Northwest Volleyball, as our student athlete of the week is Shelby Duran, and she'll be up, and we'll talk to Shelby coming up right after this, as you're listening to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's game is brought to you in part by Twaddle Realty in Maryville. As a United Country Realtor, Brian Twaddle provides real estate services for residential, farm, and commercial properties at 562-7562 or MarylandMoRealEstate.net.
This Bearcat broadcast is being underwritten by Championship Motors in Maryville, located at 1528 South Main Street. Bill McCulley and his team offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats is provided by East Hill Shopping Center at Frederick Boulevard and Belt Highway in St. Joseph. At 45 minutes from Maryville, East Hills offers new restaurants, including Five Guys, Panchero's Mexican Grill, and Golden Corral. More at shopeasthills.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by the Bearcat Booster Club. impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information available at northwestbearcats.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering 24-hour emergency service, locksmithing, auto glass, rock chip repair, storefronts, and entrances. More at 582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylevilleGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's game comes in part from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is open 24 hours every day and now serves a limited breakfast menu beginning at midnight. McDonald's, located at the intersection of South Avenue and South Main Street in Maryville.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We continue to talk volleyball this evening. We're joined now by a sophomore from Bennington at Nebraska, Shelby Dern. And Shelby, thanks a lot for being with us here.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Shelby, we were talking during the break there that you're like a lot of the players on your team, as well as the coach, that the road has gotten a little weary for everybody, I think, right now with you.
Yeah, definitely. It's just so hard being away from our home court where we're used to with our trainers and everything. So it's just going to be nice to be in our own turf for this last half.
Let's just talk about the season so far for you, and what's been the main things that really has come out of this season for you?
I think that we've learned to kind of fight for our own on the court. A lot of the times we've been down, and we found a way to get back. We may not have won every single game, but we have really showed a lot of fight on the court, and I think that really shows a lot to how far we can go.
And now that you've got some home matches coming up, maybe kind of get into a little bit more of a routine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be nice so we can just be in our own place and just have that vibe.
All right, now you come to Northwest from Bennington, Nebraska, and Stuck Catholic High School, and you're a marketing major, I understand.
Yes.
Might just talk a little bit about what brought you to Northwest.
Well, I definitely wanted to pursue volleyball, and I wanted a place where that there was a home environment and where I could really be close to my family. And being 2 hours away from home, it's the perfect distance. I can still go home, but I still have that distance, so I am away. And, I mean, even from my first visit, I just had that family environment, and I clicked with everything, with school, campus, and the team, and I just fell in love with it.
And you're coming out of a program that had a lot of success, I understand.
Oh, yeah. It was at Scott. We were really successful, and our volleyball team was a top contender at state. And, I mean, I think that's what pushed me to continue playing volleyball, because I just had that passion, and it proceeded on to college.
When did you first realize that volleyball would be something that would be special for you?
I think it kind of started my sophomore year, because I was actually totally convinced I was going to be a soccer star. And I tried out for volleyball, and it worked out. And I joined a club, and I played for my high school team and made JV as a freshman. And I was like, wow, I'm like, this could work for me. And I really just found that passion. And I just love the game. I love the competition. And I just knew that if I had the choice and the opportunity to continue playing, then I have to take it.
What are some of the things about volleyball that you really love out there?
Like I said, just the competition. Like, I just love how in the moment it is and how you can get so much momentum just from getting a kill, and like, it just gives you the most satisfactory feeling.
Now, you were able to come in as a freshman last year and played in 23 matches, got a chance to start in 13 of those. Talk about coming in as a freshman and being able to contribute right off the bat.
Yeah, coming in as a freshman, it's hard just because, I mean, from my high school stance, I was always playing and stuff, and so I really had to put myself out there and really fight for what I wanted. And I mean, it worked out in the end, and I know I still have to fight every day. And I don't know, it makes me feel accomplished that I can get in there and do good things as a freshman.
As a marketing major at Northwest, just talk about being a marketing major and some things that you hope to have happen as you get closer toward graduation.
Yeah, well, I've always been interested in communication, and I love talking to people, and I'm not exactly sure where I want to go with it, but I know I want to, you know, work for a big company and be kind of in charge of the marketing aspect of things, because that's what interests me. And right now I'm starting to get into my core classes for marketing, and it's exciting to me. So I'm learning things, and I see the light at the end of the tunnel for that.
All right, and you get a chance to have a couple home matches this weekend, and not only that, but be a little big crowd on the campus and in town for homecoming. So hopefully a lot of people will take advantage of having the opportunity to watch you guys play this weekend.
Yes, hopefully.
All right, well, Shelby, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
And that is Shelby Duren, a sophomore from Bennington, Nebraska, who's a member of the Northwest volleyball team and outside hitter for the Bearcats. And Shelby, again, it's good to have you with us here today. And we've got a couple of giveaways that we'll hand out as well. L.D. Young of Maryville receives a Northwest volleyball T-shirt. So L.D. Young is a winner here tonight. And also Carla Rusco has a Northwest soccer T-shirt. So Carla's here, and she'll pick up a T-shirt as well. So those are a couple of giveaways that we have this evening. Don't forget, if you have any questions for Adam Doyle, the head coach of the Northwest football team, he'll be up next as we'll talk Bearcat football. We'll pass those along as well as the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show continues. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Back with the head coach of the Bearcat football squad, Adam Doyle, right after this.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Vaquero & Herzog, REMAX First Choice Real Estate of Liberty, Missouri, specializing in residential and commercial property in North Kansas City. More information is available at 816-806-7777. Today's game is being underwritten by Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Veer-Toller, along with their wives Polly and Rebecca, provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing auto, home, life, business insurance, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance protection reviews. More information is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, and Kent Peterson of Stanbury.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating their 50th anniversary, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. 660-582-3104.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Dion and Jody Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes in part from A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G provides a sit-down menu, banquet rooms, and catering. More information available at 660-582-4421 or online at agrestaurant.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Shows. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. I'm John Coffey alongside Matt Gorder, and we're joined now by the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Doyle. And Matt, before we talk to AD here, we're looking up at the TV screens, and unfortunately, they're showing some of the highlights of that Cardinal game. I see Rich Wright over here. I know Rich isn't liking this much either.
Yeah. Well, I thought your answer was good because AD just asked what time the Cardinals started, and you said, well, they haven't yet. They really didn't last night either. So.
Hey, I snuck by Rich's door the whole day. I did not want to wake the bear in there. He was getting some grief from the kids mid-morning, though. We've all of a sudden got a lot of Boston Red Sox fans. Those anti-Cardinals guys.
All right, Rich, it's a seven-game series, yep. So we're good. We're good.
All right, again, we're talking with the head coach of the Bearcats, Adam Doyle, and AD, a good win for your team last Saturday, and what a defensive pair for now, the Bearcats, in that win over Pittsburgh State.
It was unbelievable, John. Been fortunate to be here a long time and see some great defensive efforts, but, I mean, you go back and you watch it and you listen to our defensive staff talk. It was an unbelievable performance against a really good Pittsburgh State offense, and that's what was neat about it. And it was a great team defensive effort. We were playing a lot of guys, but it was a bunch of guys doing their 1-11th, and they were tackling well in space, and just hats off to our defensive staff. I thought they did a really good job of getting our kids ready to play, and our kids just really believed. I sensed all week that they really believed they were going to play well on defense, and, I'll be lying if I told you I thought they were going to hold them to 37 yards of rushing, because that's just very uncharacteristic of Pittsburgh State, the offense, and just the fact that our guys did that, I really thought it allowed us to pin our ears back and go get them, and I thought our defensive line played lights out. So it was... it was awesome to see.
That seems like a big factor against Pitt. I mean, I know it was a little more in the past than it is now with the way they're playing the offense, but it seemed like they relied so much on the run game to allow them to get big plays, which were usually touchdowns.
Yeah.
But even the few big plays they had weren't touchdown big plays.
Sure, yeah. And you know, I think with what they do, a lot of play action, and obviously trying to get the ball to John Brown and just get him singled up, it's a lot of times you look, and we've followed him a little bit, so I've been able to see their offense, and you know, a lot of what they do is try to set him up with play action and get those safeties creeping downfield, and you know, we didn't have to do that. Our guys were stopping the run, the front seven, and it's great when you can do that because your safeties can stay home and force some turnovers. I mean, that was huge, some of those tip balls, and guys were in great position, and it was just awesome to see. I mean, we were flying around, so need to do it again Saturday.
No, going into halftime down, but you still kind of felt when you looked at the stats and everything that just go out and play Bearcat football in the second half, that some good things would come out of it.
We did. You know, the thing that I felt good about is I just felt like our kids offensively didn't panic, and that's important, especially when your defense is playing that well. Guys don't press, and they just need to hang in there and not turn the football over. Obviously, there towards the end of the game when our special teams got us the ball and the muffed punt, it was just really disappointing because I really thought we could have put that game away right there for us to come out offensively and fumble. That was really it. They did a good job of just being patient. And we talk about the first drive of the second half is the most important drive. No matter whether we're going on offense or we're going on defense, it just sets the tempo and the tone for the rest of the game. And, you know, how about our special teams again? They come out and get a great kickoff return. It's the longest one we've had all year by far. And, you know, we're on a 45-yard porch or 55-yard porch, and we scored in three plays offensively. And so I just really capitalized on that momentum and took off from there.
How key is it if you have a good special teams play? You know, that doesn't go for a touchdown, obviously, if you do. But how key is it to have those 1, 2, 3 play drives where you really get a quick strike out of it to make sure you take full advantage of that special teams play?
Well, I really feel like it changed the momentum of the football game, and it does. And I think at that point in time, you know, Pitt had scored before half, and they had a little bit of momentum, and we came out and just, I felt like, snatched that right away. And I know where you guys were from Eagle's Nest up there. It's hard to gather all that in at times, but I really felt like we really just snatched the momentum early in the third quarter, and I don't feel like we ever looked back.
Yeah, I think we could see the arch from our vantage point.
It's up there, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is. But also, I thought in the game, one of the keys, too, Trevor Adams went out with an injury early in the ball game, but you had Brady Bowles to come in. And a case where you've had two quarterbacks who only played an awful lot this season where it wasn't that big a deal for Brady to come in. He was ready to go.
No, it wasn't, John. And that's why we do that. And that's why we've always done that when we've had that luxury. It's just, I think it's hard for the casual fan to understand, but the quarterback position, in my opinion, is the hardest position to play in sports. And a kid to come in that hasn't had any type of meaningful experience to come into a game of that magnitude with the energy and the noise, it's just would have been virtually impossible for Brady to come in there and be able to do some of the things he did, because he did some really good stuff. And so it's great to see kind of that stuff come to fruition and see kids really believing in what we're doing and buying into what we're doing.
Talk about the mentality of the offense, because obviously you were facing as good a defense as you've seen. You were coming off a game where you had scored 72 points, you know, and offenses like to score, but they need to have patience in games like you guys had on Saturday. You're not going to put 72 up against Pittsburgh State. How important is them for them? How hard is it for them to stay focused when they're not scoring every drive or every other drive?
I don't think it's that hard, man, because I really feel like our kids believe in what we're doing. And I know, you know, being the O-line coach, I know our guys believe in our defense and what our defense is. And you know, we talk a lot about that. Doing your 111th and not panicking. So it didn't surprise me at all. I guys just said, just keep plugging. Don't turn the football over. Right? We just kept saying that on the sideline, don't turn the football over. Our defense is playing so well. Let's not do anything to put them in a bad position, you know, and give Pittsburgh State a short porch. And our special teams were playing pretty dang good at that time, too. You know, the one statistic, it shows up that a lot of people don't talk about. We had 6 punts inside the 20-yard line, and I don't know when was the last time you saw that in a college football game, but 4 of them by our punter, and each of our quarterback had a punt, and it's just huge that our offense doesn't panic and they don't press, especially at that quarterback position.
We talk about the quarterbacks and the pooch punch. It seems like that's been something Northwest has had throughout the years, the quarterbacks that can step back and drop that ball inside the 10-yard line or so, and you've got some guys that can really do that for you.
Yeah, it's great to have. It's a surprise package that we call, and we're going out there in a potential go-for-it situation. We have that option to go for it, and just depending on what the defense is doing, and both those options, it's pretty simple. We were playing that well on defense, and we were going to go ahead and not lock it away. But the other thing it does is, not that Goodburn won punt where he's punting great, but it keeps John Brown off the field. It doesn't allow them to come in and get John Brown on the field for a potential punt return situation. And so it's always good to have that little package, and it's been good to us for many years.
And really, and you talk about Kyle, did a good job of keeping the ball away from John Brown, as did Truen. That had to have been a key, because obviously if he doesn't have the football, he can't make magic happen.
Sure. One of the things, he was still punting the ball in bounds, but where John was fielding that ball was at the bottom of the numbers, and he virtually had no room to go. And just, again, our staff just did a great job with special teams, but our kids really understood what we were trying to do and just hem him in. And, you know, our gunners were getting to the football, and then we had our contained guys and just really folding in there. And I thought Truen, you know, kicked kickoffs very well for his first time at Arrowhead. It was really only one that he kind of kicked down the middle. We didn't want him to, but other than that, he did a good job of executing our game plan, too, trying to kick away from John.
Talked a little bit about the offensive and defensive lines a bit there, but I thought that was another key. Both of those units, I thought, performed well for you.
I did, too, John. I thought our offensive line, did a good job of not picking up some blitzes. They're kind of a pressure defense and not giving up a bunch of sacks. And I thought they did some good stuff in the run game. But, you know, again, I just thought our D-line, just you go back and you watch that. I told Rich, you get in there Sunday, and I don't have time to really watch the defensive stuff, and so I don't get to watch it till midweek, and I was watching it Wednesday night on my iPad. It gets me excited. You know, it's exciting when you have a bunch of guys that believe in what you're doing that are just hungry and running to the football, and they're angry when they get there. And it's we're playing eight or nine of those guys, man. And I tell you the thing, on the D-line, you better show up to practice Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday if you want to play on Saturday. And so it's a great luxury to have.
We've talked how they've really played well most of the year. We don't see huge sack numbers, but it had to have been cool to see a couple of safeties and some sacks in the ball game so that those guys get some stats and some of that fun to go along with
sure,
the work.
Sure, absolutely. You know, a lot of times, I know Rich just always talks about them pushing the pocket, and again, the casual fan, you know, well, they're not sacking it, but when you push the pocket like that, you're getting in the quarterback's windows, and we have some long kids that do a good job. When he takes his hand off the football, you know, right-handed quarterback takes his left hand off the football, he's going to throw it and get their hands up. And so it's not always about sacks, it's about pushing that pocket and getting in his lap and making him uncomfortable. And I think when you watch the game of football, what you look for is watch a quarterback throw. Are his feet underneath him? Is he following through? If he is, he's got too much time to throw. And I think it was very apparent that young man was in duress and throwing off his back foot a lot. And, you know, it was great to see our kids getting after him.
Dan, we're talking with the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Dorland. We'll continue to talk with Adam when we come back after this break. But we also have a couple of giveaways to pass out right now, and then we'll have some a little bit later in our show as well. Molly Von Behren receives a Northwest basketball T-shirt. So, again, Molly Von Behren with the Northwest basketball T-shirt. And then Sue Poston receives a student body gift card. So, Sue Poston gets a student body gift card. Those are a couple things. Just come over to our left. Chris will take care of you. And when we come back, we'll talk more with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Doyle, right after this timeout as you're listening to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV. And again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee. Located at 1217 South Main, Hy-Vee offers groceries, delicatessen, salad bar, gas, a bakery, floral shop, and pharmacy. More information is available in-store or at 660-582-2191. Today's game is brought to you by Maryville State Farm Insurance agents Carrie Myers and Kevin Neal, providing insurance and financial services at 121 West Lincoln and behind Applebee's at 305 Larry Lane, 562-3882 or 582-3512.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Shrek Auto in Maryville. Lou Shrek and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups to oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or in shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for today's game comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville. Pizza Hut offers a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights from 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More online at pizzahut.com or in-store at 732 South Main in Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery. Now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville, the Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
And welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And again, we're talking with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Durrell. And as we mentioned at the outset, it's a good opportunity to write some questions, bring them up, and we'll pass those along. And Matt, we do have a special question here to pass along to you.
Yeah, we obtained some insider information from last week from postgame, and somebody wants to know something about the team singing "The Wheels on the Bus" on the way home. Yeah. And they had a couple of special guest singers teaching.
We did. Well, I'll tell you what. I got the idea because Coach T and Rich, they used to take the girls on the bus. That was back when I was single and without kids. They used to take their kids on the bus. And so, I don't know, I was talking to my wife. We just thought it'd be good for the girls to experience that. Man, they had a blast. And the best thing is I got it on my camera phone, and I got to get it to Marshall to get it off there. I have to get that online. It's pretty good. It was bad singing, I will tell you that. It was not in unison, but they enjoyed it anyway.
So the girls teaching them, they didn't quite do them proud, but at least they gave the effort, right?
Yeah. Well, we were going to try to watch a Disney movie, but we couldn't get the DVD player to work. It was their first bus trip, and they enjoyed it.
Awesome. What we did have one other question going into this week. We talked a little bit earlier about Trevor, but how's the injury situation going into this week?
He's doing well. Trevor's doing well. He's rehabbing. We'll see what he looks like tomorrow. He's going to throw a little bit. He threw some today, and we'll just see what he's like for Saturday. I mean, if he can play, he'll play. And he's a smart kid. If he can't play up to his potential and make us a good football team, then he'll let us know that. But other than that, the injury situation, you know, for this time of year is pretty good. And that's really it from Arrowhead. We've got guys back, just little things, bangs and bruises. And they've been rehabbing all week with Kelly, and she does a great job with that. So we'll be good to go.
Now, you've got homecoming this week. Missouri Southern comes to town. But before we talk about Missouri Southern, again, homecoming, a lot of things that go into it in Maryville with what Northwest Missouri State does with homecoming. And one thing that the Bearcat football team has been able to do through the years is maintain that focus on the game throughout the week.
Yeah, it's important. We talk about that on Sunday. You know, homecoming, there's a lot of stuff going on, and it's very important to this community and our university. But we have, you know, we only have one job on homecoming, and that's to win the football game. And homecoming's just not much fun if you don't win. So I think our guys feel really good about that, and they embrace that. And we've had a really, really good week of practice.
Teams are always trying to do things different to have success. Obviously, this weekend you're going to see something different with that option. There's been years where you've seen several teams, but that doesn't happen anymore. How much tougher does it make to get ready for a team that you're only going to see that style of offense once in a year?
Well, I think it's tough. You know, for Rich and the guys, I think they'd tell you it's one of their least favorite weeks as coaches, because there's just so much you got to show your kids in a short amount of time. The other thing, I was telling Jonathan in an interview today, you know, I think at some point in time our defensive staff used to reference, well, last time a lot of these kids played the option, they were in high school. Well, a lot of them don't even get into high school football anymore. And so it's been a challenge for our defensive staff. I think I feel really good about it. We have such large numbers. They were able to simulate a lot with the number of scout kids that we had, doing two different offenses, two different huddles. And, you know, maybe one group was really focused on this part of the option and the other here. So the scout kids didn't have to learn at all. And, you know, I know our defensive staff feels well because they've had a really good week of preparation. But it's difficult. It's it's a different deal. It's a different beast, and you got to play assignment football and don't get out leveraged.
You know, AD, you were talking this week too that fans in Maryville spoofed out football back when Chuck Litters was a head coach might recognize some of this offense.
You would. Chuck Litters would be proud of the Missouri Southern offense. It looks just like that. I was telling our guys, our staff, that's what we ran in high school, and it was real easy to block in. You'd get the 4-point stamps, and you'd either crab block right or you crab block left. So it's pretty simple stuff.
What is the biggest challenge against an option team like you'll see? I mean, you've seen a little bit of run-pass option from some of the quarterbacks you've faced, but this is a different type of option.
Just assignment football, you know, and that's why I feel good. Our kids believe in what we're doing. We always talk about that buzzword, 1/11th, do your job. And, I mean, guys have to do that this week. It's not going to be a pretty football game. It's going to be very violent at the line of scrimmage and, you know, the corners that we may get a corner that may get one ball or two balls thrown at him the whole day, if that. And so, but they're very important to what we do. But guys just got to do their job and do their what we're calling about alignment, assignment, snap count football, and they just don't get out leveraged, you know, when the ball's snapped. And I know Rich has really talked about that all week with our guys, going back and watching some of the teams they played. Just haven't done a great job defensing it because they're getting out leveraged.
Now, last year when you played at Missouri Southern, you were able to do such a good job on first and second downs. Of course, like third and long, where you put them in a passing situation, and they turned it over quite a bit on some interceptions. Is that still going to be kind of a key with
them? Yeah, I think so, John. I think the thing that, you know, our guys have also got our defensive staff understanding. They're one of the tops in the country for going for it on a fourth down. And so it's just a different mindset. You know, in most weeks, your defense, man, if they can play well on third down, get an incomplete pass, they're getting off the field. That's not the case this week. Our defense, they may have to play four downs to get off the field. And, you know, they're ready for that. But if you can get them into those situations, it's certainly tough. I think the other thing, I think if you can get them behind when they're playing, you can get a couple scores lead. I think it really forces them to try not to get away from their game plan. And, again, sometimes guys can't do that. They're not disciplined enough to do that, and they get away from their game plan and start putting it up in the air. And, you know, we feel pretty good if they're doing that.
We talked a lot this year about how both sides of the ball, but the defense has made adjustments as the game has gone on. Is that going to have to kind of happen because the guys will be seeing full speed, a team that runs the option all the time, so we'll see it get better just because they'll get a better feel of what they're going against?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're going to see that on both sides of the football. You know, defensively, our guys will mix it up on what we're doing, but it's, you know, everybody just has to be patient because no matter how good our scout teams did all week, it's going to be a whole different speed early in that game. And so it may take a couple series for our defensive guys to see the speed of it, but I'm confident that they'll get that done and we'll make adjustments. And the flip side of that offensively with what they're doing, running the 3-3 stack defense, they always seem to have a couple new blitzes each week, and so, but it's just one or two, and so we'll have to talk about it on the sideline and get the protections right and be ready to make adjustments.
Again, for your offense, you're seeing a really different look than what you've seen all season long.
Yeah.
How they do defense.
Yeah, they do, John. It's what we call a 3-3 stack, and all they're doing is just they're lining up and they're bringing most of the time at least five, if not six guys, and they're bringing them from everywhere. And, you know, we've got to be able to win first down. We've got to get positive yards. And if you can block those guys blitzing, there is some natural seams in there to run the football. But, you know, the big thing is you got to pick up blitzers at the line of scrimmage, vary the snap count. And at the end of the day, we got to win some matchups down the field because they're playing a lot of man coverage.
It seems like they've been pretty decent against the run defensively.
Yeah, they have. I mean, this is a very good football team we're playing. I think that their coach, you know, he's been there a couple of years. I think he's doing a really good job and his staff. And, you know, it's like they came into the league and found out what nobody else was doing, and then they're going and doing that. Same with their special teams. They're running all kinds of different punt formations and kickoff formations. And so it's tough to get ready for in a week. So we've got a challenge. And then to boot, athletically, you know, they've got a lot of kids, a lot of out-of-state kids. They got a lot of kids from down south. And, you know, he used to be a head football coach down in Louisiana. He's bringing some of those kids up here from Alabama and Mississippi. And so they've got good athletes and they can run.
And I would imagine, too, they probably feel like they're coming off a game last week with Missouri Western. That was a very winnable game for them. So they're probably coming in with a little bit to prove here.
Yeah, they turned the ball over six times last week. And going into that game, they'd only turned it over four times. So They're, I'm sure, very upset with the way the outcome was last week.
With what happened, do you see opportunities to be able to force turnovers, or is this a team that, through like the rest of the season, is it tough to force turnovers?
Well, they're trying to, you know, be an option. They're trying to be a ball control team and not turn it over, because they feel like if they can do that and just control the clock a little bit and hang in there, so to speak, that they're going to have a chance to win it at the end. So I'm just confident in our guys that we're going to go out and play hard and be aggressive early and play well in all three phases. I know we're going to play with a lot of energy and play with a lot of enthusiasm. And, you know, our guys understand that this is homecoming. It's very, very important to our football team. And it's taking the next step in the MIAA and trying to get better as a football team and just keep improving. And so I'm confident we're going to play hard.
I know you were saying earlier today, too, that teams had a good week of practice.
Had a great week of practice in all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams. And I feel good. You know, I know the defense guys, I feel like our twos, our backups have had a really good week, too. And so I always kind of judge it on that. If the ones and twos have had a good week, I feel pretty good. But I feel good about our kids understand what we're trying to do this week, the game plan. We've simplified things for them on both sides, and we're just going to go out and try to play fast and be physical.
Are you guys going to get a better spot in the Northwest homecoming parade than what you got in the Northeastern State homecoming parade?
We know the route. College Avenue's like Beirut. You will avoid that at all costs Saturday morning and go around. And so, yeah, we'll be coming in from the north side to stay out of that mess. Well, I tell you, the thing I'm disappointed is Coach Gordon now has the best, him and the president's house is the best place to watch the parade, so we're going to have to, I think my kids and wife are going to go back over and invade their house now and watch the parade.
Always a fun week, isn't it?
It's great. It's exciting. You know, I've told you, John, I've worked at three other institutions other than here, and homecomings, anybody who can tell you that worked at other schools, homecomings, just not like it is here. It's very special here, and I think our place does a good job of tying the Greek life together with the parade, the community, and the football, and all student athletes get involved, and so it's a special deal.
All right, AD, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Dorrell. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, and when we come back, we'll wrap things up on another edition of the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout on KXCV.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from national investors in Redfield, Iowa, and Northwest alumni R.J. Smith and Greg Wilson, providing asset protection, retirement planning, estate organization, and insurance options. More at nationalinvestors.com.
Support for today's game comes from Bram Danfelt Funeral Home in Maryville at 206 East South Hills Drive. Director Jeff Bram provides families with pre-arrangements, burial, and cremation services. More at bramfuneralhome.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any one of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mound City, and St. Joseph.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing community opportunity. Nottoway County Economic Development. More at MaryvilleMO.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from MTE Office Centers with locations in Maryville and Cameron. Providing computers, printing, networking furniture, and office supplies since 1935, MTE Office Center at 216 East 3rd in Maryville and 811 South Walnut in Cameron.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, 582-2699.
Welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville as we wrap up this edition of the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. And before we sign things off from here, we've got a couple more giveaways. Bill Baldwin receives a student body gift card. And Bill's over here. So, again, congratulations to Bill getting a student body gift card. And also Diane Bird will receive a Northwest soccer T-shirt. So, Diane Bird getting a Northwest soccer T-shirt. So we've got some good giveaways here tonight, Matt.
Absolutely. Each and every week.
That's right.
Student body does a tremendous job with their stuff. So It's hard to see T-shirts given away. I want to take them all home. But I've been told by my wife that for every one shirt I bring home, I have to get rid of two that I already own. And that's too tough a decision. So I better avoid it.
Well, that'll be a fun weekend. As we talked about earlier, the Northwest Cross Country teams will be away. They'll be running in the MIAA meet. But volleyball is home for a couple matches. And, of course, Bearcat football this Saturday.
Yeah, I know myself for sure. I'm going to take advantage and see some volleyball tomorrow night. Hopefully Saturday too, but you know, obviously with football on Saturday as well, there's a lot to choose from, and I always try to take in as much as I can. We'll see what happens.
All right, Ken, we'll have the Bearcat football game Saturday on KXCV KRNW, as well as the rest of the Bearcat radio network. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff. Our broadcast begins at 1 o'clock with Bearcat Game Day, sponsored by Hy-Vee. Again, that's coming up on a Saturday from a Bearcat Stadium, homecoming Northwest and Missouri Southern. Thanks to everyone who's involved with our program here tonight, at Northwest Women's Volleyball Head Coach Amy Worth, along with Cross Country Coach Scott Lork, and volleyball player Shelby Dern, along with Head Football Coach Adam Doyle. My thanks to Matt Gorder, as well as Chris Roush and Darren Perkins. A reminder, too, that support for the Bearcat Coaches Show comes your way from Steiner Body, screen printing and embroidery, now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Steiner Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation. Support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch or dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in and carry-out. More information at 660-582-2699. And as always, our thanks to Carson, Renee, and the wait staff for helping make our show a success each and every Thursday evening. We'll be back with you again next Thursday. 6 o'clock is airtime along KXCV, KRNW, and the Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, thanks to everyone involved with the program. That'll do it for this edition of the Coaches Show. Back with you next Thursday evening.
This is KXCV Maryville, KRNW, Chillicothe, also on the web at kxcv.org. We go